I want to take just a moment. You can be seated. And are you ready for the word?
Yes.
All right. Are we hot? Hey, each Sunday that goes by, I can feel autumn and fall coming closer and closer. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. But I'm declaring right now by December we'll be out of this thing. All right. And we'll be standing in a structure where we can bring several people to the foot of the cross. Amen. Because our mission and our vision will not change, will it? All right, I want to take just a moment and give honor where honor is due. Those who labor in the word are worthy of double honor. You realize that? That's what your Bible says. All right, and we have two men here today. Senior Elder Grant, stand up, brother. Let them see you. Come on. Every time, listen. Every time. Where's my sound man? Taking a smoke break? Brother Grant, every time I dress up, I don't do this every Sunday, but sometimes I like to, right? And every time I do, he shows up and looks a little bit better than I do. I'm getting tired of it. Every time. Looking sharp. Hallelujah. Good to see you, brother. Amen. All right. And secondly, Pastor Bishop Dan Salmon is in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's here, and he has been such a inspiration in my life growing up, taking me through the reins of ministry, helping me and strengthening me, and we're so glad to have him here today. He's going to share a word here in a little while, and I'm sure he's got something on his heart. So, but he was pastor. He pastored this community, and I'm sure everybody here knows who he is, or you've heard the name Dan Salmon at one time in your life, right? So, but I know he pastored Harvest Temple Church of God, started that church, right? Started that church, and many years ago, and built it up to a great congregation, and it's still there today. Amen. You know you've obeyed God when the legacy is still there, even after you're gone, right? And that's how it ought to be in your life. When you leave this world, something should still be here reflecting your relationship with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just bump me up a little bit if you can. Amen. All right. Are you ready for the word?
Amen.
All right. Hallelujah. It's so good to be here, isn't it? And God is so good. He's faithful. He's faithful. Brother Dow, good to see you, brother. Hallelujah. God is a healer, isn't he? He is a healer. We're going to pray for you before it's over with, if that's all right. I just want the anointing to get real strong in here. And I'm not kidding around here. Hey, listen, when the anointing is strong, that's when you pray. When the waters are stirred, that's when you step in. And you have to be able to discern that. And when that time comes, I'm telling you, the Lord does a work. Not only does he put faith in your heart, but he puts power in your hands to believe God, to see miracles. You believe that? Shout yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right, Micah chapter 2, the prophet. I know just saying Micah will put you to sleep, but I haven't had any sleep thinking about what the Lord has placed upon my heart today. So I'm so excited to share it with you. And I've got a vacation coming up, and I won't be in the pulpit for a week or so. So I'm going to let you have it today. Is that all right? Are you ready? All right. Micah chapter 2. He's wedged in there between Jonah and Nahum, if that helps you any. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you love God's word? He's so faithful. You can't read your Bible and say there is no God. When you begin to read the scriptures, it's like reading the front page of the newspaper. Jesus himself declared that this would be the beginning of sorrows. You would see, you would hear of wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes in divers places. There would be famines and pestilence. The love of many would wax cold because the evil in men's heart would wax worse and worse. And we see that playing before our very eyes, don't we? And last Sunday, I talked to you about the spirit of pharmakia. We talked about that, didn't we? And about addiction and how we're squaring our shoulders and battling it head on right here in this county. Amen. And God is going to do a work. And he's going to do a work using you to do it. Amen. Micah chapter 2, and I want us to look at verse 12. Micah is prophesying about a time when the nation of Israel would be gathered together in their land, in the land of Judah. And he was prophesying about a time when Judah would come together along with the body of Christ, that's you and I, at the end of a time called the time of Jacob's trouble or the time of tribulation. How many believe the Lord is coming soon? Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, he gave us a command. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will surely come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. That's your blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's right around the corner. You believe that? Are you living in such a way that you believe that? Are you living in such a way that you're looking for the coming of the Lord? And I believe all too many times the church has packed their bags waiting on the coming of the Lord. But as your bags are packed, you need to be dispensing the kingdom of God that he's put within you to bring people into the fold of God. Amen? Amen. So Micah prophesies about a time after this tribulation when Israel will be gathered together at the Battle of Armageddon. That great battle, that great day of the Lord, when the Antichrist and his armies prepare themselves to go against God himself. And Jesus Christ comes to this earth with the saints of God, and he defeats the Antichrist and his armies at the Battle of Armageddon. And when he does this, notice what the prophet declares. Powerful words here. Verse 12, Micah chapter 2. Are you there? I will surely... Now, I could stop right there, couldn't I? Notice how God declares his word here. I will surely... He wasn't calling anybody surely. He said, I will surely do a thing. And you can apply that to your life right now. Do you have a promise of God that you're holding on to? The Bible says in Philippians 1 verse 6, if he's begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will surely complete it. If you're sick in your body, the Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Surely he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Surely the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes, surely we shall and are healed. You believe that? But he said, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee, and I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. And I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. Now I want you to get this right here. This is what I want you to see. They shall make great noise. Everybody shout noise. Noise. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. And the breaker is come up before them. That's our Lord Christ. Hallelujah. They have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. But before the breaker comes, before the leader, our Christ, goes before them, notice what he says. He will gather them together, and they shall make great noise. Now, I've been an evangelist for a long time, and these past few years I've seen one thing in common with the church today, and that is churches are too quiet. Do you hear what I said? Churches are too quiet. They're not making any noise. The only noise they're making is on social media. But yet everybody's dying and going to hell in their churches because nobody is making any noise. But I can declare to you today that we shall surely assemble in this tabernacle. And Psalm 100 declares, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Hallelujah. But the point I want you to get is that before something great happens, anytime you see great power, you first see a great noise. Anytime you see that locomotive, you hear it coming for miles, don't you? You hear those diesel engines churning, and you hear the noise before you see the power. The same thing with a tornado. When it comes through a place, you can hear it before you can see it. You hear the noise before you see great power. And that's the way it is in your life. That's why the Bible says, clap your hands, O ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. So the next time you want to cross your arms and sit there and look like a cemetery, just remember what the Lord declared, that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not my heart, not my mind, not my arms, but in my mouth shall I declare the goodness of Almighty God. Hallelujah. In the land of the living. But if you want to see great power in your life, you better start making some noise. That's right. What kind of noise are you making? Oh, hey, somebody got it. Hallelujah. Somebody shout right now. That was all right. But I want you to notice, Psalm 8, verse 2. Sister Sandra Bennett put this scripture in my heart. She's preaching Wednesday night, by the way. Raise your hand, let them see you. Hallelujah. Be a good word, too. She put Psalm 8, verse 2 a couple weeks in my heart, and it's been festering there ever since. You see, that's the thing about the Word of God. What kind of noise are you making? Are you talking about someone? Are you complaining? Are you griping? Huh? Is that the noise you're making? What kind of noise are you making to your spouse? What kind of noise are you making? What kind of sounds are you making to your children? Because the sounds that you're making is going to reflect their life. You see that? Because the power comes after the sound. That's right. Psalm 8 verse 2 says that praise steals the avenger. Praise in the mouth of a believer stops the enemy in his tracks. So when the enemy comes against you like a flood, the Bible says, not your laptop, not your iPad, and not your iPhone, but the Bible declares, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and stop him in his tracks. So if the enemy has been on your coattails and you got that old Molly Grubb mentality where the devil's on your back and you got to get the saddle off and all that, why don't you just stop all of that? Lift up your voice and shout unto God with a voice of triumph, because it's the praise that comes out of your mouth that steals the avenger. It stops the enemy in his tracks. Make some noise for God Almighty. Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. Raise your hands to heaven. Father, we honor you today. Hallelujah. You see, the first thing God ever created was not the heavens and the earth. The first thing that God created was sound. The first thing he created was noise. The Bible says God said, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let the light be divided from the darkness. And God said, let the earth divide from the water. And God said, let trees come forth and every seed-bearing plant spring forth. God said. The first thing he created was sound. He's a speaking God. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that the things which we see were not made by things which do exist. What does that mean? That means God didn't have any pre-existing materials to create this people planet. Nope. All he did was just merely speak a word and declared with his mouth and began to make noise as the creator of heaven and earth. And things began to be, and things began to become a reality because of the noise that he was making, you see. First thing he created was noise. Hebrews 1 verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, he upholds all things by the word of his power. You're sitting here today because he's holding this people planet upon the word of his power. It's not gravity, it's the word of God. You hear what I'm telling you? He upholds it all by the word of his power, just like he upholds your life by the word of his power declared in your heart, springing forth into everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything powerful follows a noise. I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 5 in your Bible. Hallelujah. Nothing worse than a quiet church, is it? I won't let it happen here. If I got to prime you and push you, you're going to make some noise. Amen. And if you're just quiet and proper, this may not be the place for you. Right? I'd rather calm somebody down than push them to do something. Amen. I'd love a little wildfire any day. You can work with that. But somebody that won't move, you can't do anything with that. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 5. Everybody shout King David. King David becomes the king of Israel. Well, the very moment that he becomes the king of Israel, of course, the enemy comes after him, right? And anytime the Lord appoints you and he puts you in a place of destiny, if he puts you in a place of seeing the promise of God fulfilled in your life or in the life of your family, the enemy will always raise his head. Do you hear what I said? New level equals a new devil. Every time David fought a bear and a lion before anybody ever knew who he was. Then he had to fight big Goliath. Then he becomes the king of Israel and he proves himself. So here comes the big bad Philistines in 2 Samuel chapter 5. And I want you to look at what the Lord tells him here in verse 22. And the Philistines came up yet again. Everybody shout again. There is always, go ahead and kill that spider. Give him a hand, everybody. He just saved your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll move that before the altar service. Hallelujah. These gentlemen are on top of it, aren't they? All right, everybody shout again. Notice he says the Philistines came up yet again. There's always a counterattack in your life. You realize that? The enemy's not going to leave you alone for very long. But he's coming after you. So if you're at a place of victory right now, just get ready because he's coming. But the good news about the gospel is that when he does come, you can stay victorious by the sound that you make. You realize that. And I want to teach you that. Look at verse 22. And he came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. So he tells them to go hide out behind some trees. And let it be when thou hearest the sound, everybody shout sound, of the going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. So God tells David to not go forth into battle just yet. He tells him to hide out behind the mulberry bushes. And he says, when you begin to hear the sound, shout sound. Then you get up and you go, because sound will always go before the power of God. Can you get this morning? Sound, the power of sound going before you. The power of sound going before David. And he began to hear the hoofbeats. That's what it means in the Hebrew. The hoofbeats of the horses going in the mulberry trees. And he knew it was time to square his shoulders and fight. And before you fight the enemy, before you fight a counterattack against you, you must understand that you have to come to a place where you hear God and you hear his voice and you hear his word. Then you can begin to declare that word, make some noise, make a sound, and then the power of God will follow that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel this morning. You know, there's power in a shout. When Elijah the prophet went to Ahab the king. Remember what he told him? He says, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Turn to James chapter 5. He said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. And it didn't. He goes back to Ahab 3.5 years later after the enemy tried to take his life, after Jezebel tried to destroy him. And he said to Ahab, he says, I can hear, everybody shout hear, the sound of the abundance of rain. Before he ever saw a drop, before he ever saw a rain cloud, before, do you hearing what I'm telling you? Before he saw anything, he could hear the sound of the abundance of rain. What does that mean to you and I? Well, let me tell you what it means. In Zechariah 10 verse 1, the prophet told us to ask for rain during the time of the latter rain. You may not see it, but I can hear it. I can hear it in my spirit. I can hear the fourth wave coming across this land in my spirit, man. I can hear the glory of God and the power of God. Shout sound, somebody. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were together in one place, in one mind, in one accord. Then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire that set upon each of them. Hallelujah. Oh, they heard the sound before they received the power. And that's what's going to happen here. But you've got to hear it in your spirit, man. And you have to begin making some noise. What do you want to see God do? Do you want to see him heal your body? Well, quit talking about how sick you are. Just start making sounds. By his stripes, I am healed. Do you want to see your family saved? Start saying, my whole house shall be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. If you want to see victory, start talking like victory. Oh, yes. I told you before, I walk out on this property and I walk on sidewalks that are not even there yet. I start stomping on a pulpit that's not even there because I can hear it in my spirit, man. I can see God doing a thing. I can hear the sound in the mulberry trees, and I can see God going before Willing Vessel Christian Center to make a way straight for the kingdom of God. Come here, brother. Come on. Come on. Come on down. Come on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Stretch your feet. I'm going to tell you what I hear in my spirit right now. There is a spirit of death in a part of this county. Do you hear what I'm telling you? A spirit of death. But he can't have this man. You hear what I'm telling you? And we're going to speak life. We're going to speak strength. And we're going to speak healing over his life right now. In the name above every name. If he's ever healed you, raise your hand. Looky there. And if he did it for you, he's going to do it for Brother Lester. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes.
I got a wife where I've been to today, and this is her third year cancer free.
Hallelujah.
And her brother Pete is wrong with her, and he's being told that he has cancer.
Right now?
He's being treated in Baptist Hospital. We've got to go back this Friday.
Hey, listen, cancer is just a word. You realize that? It's just a name. And you know what? We don't deny it. We don't act like it's not there. We call it what it is. It's cancer. But in the same breath, we declare a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but in one to come. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he shall be made whole from this day forward. If you believe it's done, clap your hands like a triumphant people. Hallelujah. You can be seated. You see, the problem with the church today, hear me please, is that we want to see something before we make a sound. We want to see him do it before we thank him. We want to see him do it before we praise him. We want to see him do it before we worship him. So we sit there with our hands folded like a child because we haven't got what we want yet. But the best way my children can get anything out of me is to aggravate me to death. Hey, you think they're quiet after I say no? Hey, they're manipulating and conniving and trying to figure out how they can get it. And with that same mentality, I told you before, you're not God's adults. You are God's children. And it's so hard for me to tell my children no. I know it ain't right. But I can't do it. So when they want something, I get it for them. How much more? Your Bible says in Matthew 7 verse 11, if we being evil know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to them that ask him? Hallelujah. You are God's children, not his adults. Can I teach you something? All right, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read a verse to you. Sometimes we quote this out of context. It's familiar, but I want to read it to you from the Amplified Version. And that's what it does. It amplifies the text. The King James says, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We know that verse, right? So we tend to think that that means we thank him for the trouble that we have in life. That's what people will tell you, pastors, you know. Yeah, you're going through the sickness, but it's God's will. Just thank him for it. That's not what your Bible says. It doesn't say give thanks for the thing. It says give thanks in the thing. All right, I want to read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 in the Amplified. Thank God in everything, no matter the circumstances, whatever they may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. You see, we praise and thank our God when we have a good week, when in reality we should be thanking him and praising him for a good week. Come on, somebody. You thank him in the midst of it because you know you shall. Shall I shall. That's why Mark 11:24 says, "And whatever you desire when you pray, believe you've received it and you shall have it." Did you hear what I said? It doesn't say after you've received it, believe for it. It says believe you received it and you shall have it. I said believe you've received it and you shall have it. You have to believe. How do you believe? With your mouth you confess Lord as the Lord of your life. And with your heart you believe unto salvation. The same thing with anything you're believing God for. You believe in your heart by declaring with your mouth. Because what's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. That's what Jesus said. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak. So what kind of noises are you making? I'll tell you what's in your heart very quickly. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 13, turn there. I want to hear the sound of thanksgiving, don't you? Skip over that. Go to Matthew 27. I'm going to throw a curveball on you here. Matthew 27, verse 50. Shout yes.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, suspended between heaven and earth. After he had been falsely accused, after he had been ridiculed, after he stood before Pilate, and he condemned him to death, washing his hands. You know, I believe Pilate's still washing his hands today. After they took him to Pilate's judgment hall and took a Roman whip with glass, chipped animal bones, leather, metal, strapped to a leather strap, and they began to beat him 39 times with that Roman whip. Josephus, the historian, says that with each lash of that whip, that pieces of flesh the size of a man's hand would fall to the floor of Pilate's judgment hall. After they put a crown of thorns upon his head and plucked the beard out of his face. Isaiah the prophet says they beat him to a point that he was unrecognizable. That you couldn't even tell he was a man. After he began to go down Via Della Rosa and he began to carry that cross, he got so weak and they had to have a man help him carry that cross. But it wasn't the weight of the wood, it was the weight of your sin. It was the weight of your sickness. It was the weight of your anxiety. You think you're battling anxiety? Jesus prayed in a garden to where he felt so much anxiety that he began to bleed drops of blood. They nail him to that cross, suspend him between heaven and earth. And the whole time he saw your life. The whole time. He saw the secrets that nobody knows about. He sees the desires of your heart today. And he's seen your pain. And in his righteous blood, what he did was take every sin, every act of disobedience, every word, every thought, and he put it in his righteous blood, and he began to pour it out on Calvary's cross. And he shed his blood for the remission of your sin. But as he's hanging there, I want you to see what the Bible says. Matthew 27, verse 50. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple, this veil, ladies and gentlemen, was 60 foot high, about 5 feet thick. The veil was ripped in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks began to rent and break and tear. Now listen, when Christ cried out with that loud voice, he made a sound, you see? Sound always precedes power. And when he made that sound, and the Gospel of John said that he cried, "It is finished." And the veil in that temple in Jerusalem, the veil began to rip, just as beautiful as you could see right down the middle from top to bottom. Indicating that from that sound, that cry from the cross, gave us access to a power that we've never known before. Oh, hallelujah. And Hebrews 4, wherefore seeing we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession, for we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but were in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may have, did you hear what I said? That we may obtain mercy and grace in the time of trouble. You have that capability. You have that ability by the power that works on the inside of you, all because the Lord Christ made a loud sound. He made some noise that gave you access into the throne room of heaven, and now you are blessed, hallelujah, according to Ephesians 1 verse 3, in heavenly places with Christ, and you abide in those heavenly places by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the problem, here's the problem, listen to me, the problem is, remember I told you in Genesis 1, God said, and then after he made and created from his voice, that he said it was good, you remember that? Except for the firmament. He said it was so. Read it in your Bible. Why did he say that? Firmament in the Hebrew is the same word you get in the Greek when you say air. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 2 that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. The devil's not in hell right now. And the third of those angels that followed him out of heaven are not in hell right now. They're in the firmament. They're in the spirit world. They're in the second heaven all around you, you see. Paul said, I was called up into the third heaven. So that tells us there's at least one and two, right? The first one's the one we see, the sun, moon, stars. The second one is that firmament. It's the spirit world all around you. The angelic beings, the demonic spirits that oppress you and fight you and pull you on a daily basis. It's the firmament, you see. But Jesus said in Ephesians 1, 3, that you are blessed in heavenly places in Christ, with Christ. What heaven? The third heaven. But you see, our problem is when we pray and we make noise, we have to get what's in the third heaven, that's ours, into the first heaven in the natural. But before it can get here, it's got to go through that firmament. It's got to go through that second heaven. Just like when Daniel prayed in Daniel chapter 10, the Bible says he began to pray and that Gabriel was dispatched to take him the answer. But then he was held up by the prince of Persia, the Bible says. For 21 days he prayed. And then he finally shows up and Daniel says, where you been, man? He said, I started praying 21 days ago. And he didn't quit. He prayed without ceasing. But he knew something should have happened a little earlier than that, right? So the angel shows up and he says, where you been? And he said, I was held up. I had to get some help. And he says, you could have helped me by making noise. You see, there's a level of praise in your mouth listen to me, that gets what is yours in the heavenly places in the third heaven, where you are sitting with Christ in your spirit man by the Holy Spirit. There is a praise that will get that from the third heaven through the second heaven into your life right now. That's why Matthew 16:19 says these words. He says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in the third heaven. Hallelujah. But how do you do that? You've got keys. What is the key? The key is that thing abiding on the inside of your mouth called your tongue. And when you begin to make noise, when you begin to bind the principalities and powers at work in your life, and you begin to loose the things that are in heavenly places to get to you, but it takes making noise to pull it through the firmament, the second heaven. You've got to declare with your mouth. You've got to find a praise in your heart that steals the avenger, that stops the enemy, and brings what is yours into your life today. Stand with me. There you go. Come on, guys, it's fine. Sure. Gentlemen, could you help me again, please? Don't steal my notes to start a church now. Hallelujah. Can I get Pastor up here, please? Ladies and gentlemen, every head bowed, every eye closed right here in this tabernacle. We're going to make some noise in this place. But before we do, if you are tired of the noise that's being made in your life, if you're tired of the things that have been said about you, if you're tired of it and you want to start making a different sound, right here today is your day. You hear what I'm telling you? And I'm inviting you right here with me. If you want to come to Christ, and I mean absolutely give Him your life today, right here, this is your opportunity. Right here today. Right here today. I'm going to let Pastor speak. I want you to open your heart and open your ears. Here you go, Pastor. You want me to hold it for you?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The last verse in the largest chapter. Chapter 150 songs reads, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Somebody praise the Lord with
Hallelujah.
Me. Praise the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
See, I've got a lot to praise the Lord for. When I was 9 years old, Jesus healed me of rheumatic fever, an enlarged heart, a leakage valve. And I haven't stopped praising Him since. Everyone in this tent, too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed.
Hallelujah.
I'll never stop praising Him. Do you love Him?
Yes.
Do you praise Him?
Hallelujah.
Do you make that noise that the pastor was talking about in praising God? We have a thing at Harvest Temple. We take a man and we'll put a person on one side of the church and nothing on the other side, and they'll start praying. They'll say, praise God, from one to the other.
Amen.
In God's throne room, there's angels that's praising God.
Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah.
Folks, He's coming back. and it's coming back quick as lightning shineth out of the east into the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of God be.
Hallelujah.
You're here, then you're gone. Yes. If you're going to say goodbye to anybody, you better hurry up and say goodbye.
That's it.
So I say goodbye.
Bless you, brother. Is that all you got?
Did you know it takes good pleasure for the Lord to hear his people praise him?
Amen.
So if you shout, you won't scare me.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
If you dance in the Holy Ghost, it won't scare me.
Hallelujah!
If you take a running spell, it won't hurt it. I was brought up in this. My dad preached out of a tent like this all across the country. He had a seven-week revival in Galax, Virginia, in a place they call the Bottom. In Riverside, North Carolina, or it was Riverside, Virginia. He prayed for a man that had a garter on the back of his neck. I saw that garter fall off of his neck.
Hallelujah.
And I'll say it again. When I was 9 years old, God healed me of rheumatic fever. I had an enlarged heart, a leaky valve. On a Wednesday night at a church that we attended in Roanoke, Virginia, God healed me.
Still healed.
Still healed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I had a doctor that told my wife, said he's going to die. And she looked at him right in the eyes and said, my husband will not die. My husband will live. And I'm alive right now.
Hallelujah.
And I had, when I had rheumatic fever, they told my mother, said he'll probably not live through his teenage years. His heart is so weak. But let me tell you, I'm more than a teenager right now. I love Jesus. I'd do anything for him, go anywhere for him, say anything for him, act the way he wants me to act.
Hallelujah.
What will you be doing when Jesus comes? I pray that you'll be right here in this church. I pray that you'll be praying. Pray without ceasing. That simply means to keep on praying. God is so good to all of us.
Yes.
And again, I'll say we're too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
Some of us probably put more stress on us, on ourselves. God don't want that stress on us. There's some people that Paul and Silas told a man,
amen,
believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved,
yes,
and thy house.
Amen.
He went home and testified to his household. And tradition tells us that every one of them received Jesus in their heart. There was a tornado that come through King that tore down a sunroom in the back of our house. Moved air conditioner. Didn't move it off the pad, just moved it over from the pad. And when we called the air conditioning technician, he came and just moved the air conditioner back to where it was. He came up from our basement. He came into our den in our kitchen. And I asked him, his name was Philip. I said, Philip, do you have Jesus in your heart? He said, no. I said, would you like to? He said, yes. I said, follow me in this prayer. And he did. And when he got up praying, he said, I'm a Christian. I said, yes, you are. Go tell other people what God has done for you.
Amen.
And he did.
Amen.
I called him at his work one day. And he said, Pastor, I'm still telling it.
Hallelujah.
That's what God wants. He wants us to tell it everywhere we go. I had a tax service in King. I had over 500 tax accounts. Across the street from me lived a judge, Judge Carter, Clarence Carter. I went in the post office one day, and he said, Preacher, he was a Sunday school teacher at the First Baptist Church in King. He says, they told me I got a blood clot in my leg. I said, Judge Carter, I know you're a believer in prayer. You teach Sunday school class at the First Baptist Church. He said, yes, I do. I said, well, would you let me pray for you? We prayed together. And I seen him the next week. He said, you know that prayer that we prayed? He said that we prayed. They said they couldn't find that blood clot.
Hallelujah.
I was sweeping off the front of the church, and a doctor that lives there in King, a Moravian, brought me a book entitled Power from On High. Did you know the Holy Ghost is power from on high?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Have you prayed for the peace for Jerusalem?
Hallelujah.
Bible, we are told that if we pray for the peace for Jerusalem, our days will be prosperous.
Amen.
I don't know if anybody don't want their days to be prosperous.
Amen.
Also says our days will be happy. Our days will be joyous.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem for us.
Yeah, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem right now.
Hallelujah.
They on an hourly basis have missiles coming into Jerusalem. Let's pray that God will turn those missiles around.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And their capital income is about $35 a month. We go to the grocery store and spend just about that much on one trip. Ask God to bless Israel. And if you look around, you'll find out that you're too blessed to be stressed.
Amen.
If you like something from Jesus, why don't you come on to the altar right now? This is an altar invitation.
Yes.
He's ready to do it for you. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Have you sought him lately? Have you knocked lately? You know the meaning of salvation is deliverance. I am the chaplain for the King Police Department, Fire Department, and the state troopers for the state of North Carolina. I have plenty of opportunities to witness for many people. Now, may the countenance of Jesus be on your face, and the faith of God be in your heart, and you give God praise for all things in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. My grandson said, sometimes you got to pray for yourself. I have many times anointed my head, prayed the prayer of faith in the name of the Lord, and the Lord answers my prayer. You know there's power in that name, Jesus. You know that Jesus wants everybody saved. Jesus wants everybody healed. He's my healing God. Every time. I say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Father, for making me whole. Thank you, Jesus, for giving to me thy great salvation and deliverance. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Pastor, thank you for inviting me. And this church invite me. Y'all have a great work here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of praise. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. 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 To stretch your hands this way, this beautiful family on the front row. Met this dear lady at the courthouse in Stokes County. And she began to tell me the story. And I told them that they have a problem now because I'm not letting them go. Amen? This brother here has committed his life to Christ. He's going to get baptized today. And the Lord just spoke to my heart earlier that the gifts that he has in his personality that he used for evil, he's going to begin to use them for good, and he's going to win multitudes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. And that makes it all worth it right there. Stretch your hands toward this family. Father, we thank you. We pray blessing. We pray healing. We pray peace. No anxiety, no fear, only steadfast confidence from this day forward that he is yours and you are his. Hallelujah. And he will declare the word of the Lord, and he will bring multitudes to the kingdom of God by the power and the anointing that you've placed on the inside of him. And from this day forward, we declare this family free I bind that pharmakia spirit. I bind that spirit of oppression, of confusion, of oppression right now. He shall be free, and so shall his whole house be free from this day forward in Jesus' name. Make some noise. Shout yes. All right. Part the ways, gentlemen, for just a little bit there as we speak to the camera here. Wherever you are watching around the world, by internet, listening by podcast, the Lord is calling you today. And he's calling you to the foot of the cross. And all you have to do is simply by faith believe in your heart and confess Jesus as Lord of your life. And he will heal you, body, soul, and spirit, and set you free. God bless you. Hallelujah.